Packers just got fucked by a challenge. That's all right. Basically, the refs are like, you were right, but we don't know how to handle it, so say goodbye to your timeout.
Welcome to episode 301 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Hey, we're going to be preoccupied with the Packers playoffs.
Yes.
Because that's happening right now.
You greedy bastard. Yeah, all right then. See, right there. Boom. Happiness for all involved except Andy. You could put it up there and then we could get sued.
If I have a play-by-play detail from the website, probably not so much.
Well, there you go. You can put that on the screen behind us and then we'll all just watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not going to help the podcast at all.
Put it up instead of chat. Nobody cares what Jim says.
Fair enough. What's the website?
Well, hopefully he's not watching us live. Hopefully. Oh, no, he is.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, because this is just,
why are you
just
watching
going
us
to live
instead of the Packers? You live in Wisconsin.
What is it, ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN.
Well, now we actually have a chat, so we can't do that. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, you know he was going to be in it. So,
I know, because he's our bestest friend.
Yay!
I actually have a shout-out for another listener named Angel. I won't mention last name just because, you know, it's, I don't know how public, whatever. But I do want to shout-out to that listener because he, if you recall a couple episodes ago, I talked about the Necromolds Kickstarter, the little, like, tabletop minis game where you actually make them out of Play-Doh and then squish them as you kill them. They've got a playtest Discord and Facebook group, and he sent me an invite. So I'm in there chit-chatting with people about the game. So thanks for that. It's nice to be thought of and invited to things.
Okay, yes, now instead of the chat, we're just looking at the, game.
Well, no, and we're looking at Andy trying to make the windows work in such a way that we see the game and the chat, and it's fascinating.
Do you want to just hand the mouse over here?
Announcements. Andy, you have like a Gautier event coming up, don't you?
I do. It is.
Is it this coming Saturday already?
It is this coming Saturday, and it. I was really bad about posting it up as well.
That's okay.
Zoom it up some more so we can see the little play-by-play.
Yeah, shrink them the other way.
Yeah, the other way.
We still love you. No, make yeah. And that goes, oh, whoa. Yeah, see the little map?
Yeah, that's what we want to see.
Yeah, I can't really do that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, you're right. Just make it go away. No,
it's
fine. It's fine. We've got our tiny little
up
things.
Too easily.
As other people are talking, each of us will glance down at our own phone when we're not the one talking. We should leave chat up so we can interact with our loyal viewer. Ooh, that's actually a good balance.
Yeah.
Doesn't show the score, but that's okay. There's no way to get the whole thing on there, just the way the monitors work.
No, that's only like a maybe 17-inch monitor, I think.
And so, it's 20 feet away. And
yeah, yeah, I mean, that's about as best as you're going to get.
That's okay.
It's the best around.
You know, the context isn't where I wanted it, but finally a viewer said, fuck me, do what you want. I've been waiting for that. Sweet podcast groupies.
He's got a wife and kid.
Wow, you know, that's on them.
Sure.
I don't even know what I'm going. Like I said, the context wasn't where I wanted it. I'd rather it had been like some single person, and I also was single. And it also was being used in that way as opposed to just not because of the flexibility of the word fuck meaning different things.
You're wearing some of the horrible colored Packers.
How
attire.
Dare fucking you?
Dare you? I will leave. Now I have every excuse. Like at first I was like, oh no, podcast comes first. But after that shit, I will leave.
Mr. Bruce, go watch the game.
Wow. The classic jersey's the best.
It is just it is like the only good classic jerseys. Because have you seen the Steelers one? Those are hideous.
Yeah. The only other classic jersey I really like is the Montreal Expos, where like you just need to vomit because of how like multicolor and neon and like rainbowy and striped is. Like the coke-addled late 70s, early 80s.
It's not as bad as the home jersey for Seattle, where they're just lime green. Bleh.
Yeah, was it like a couple seasons ago when they did the experiment where everybody had like a monochrome, a single color jersey, and they were all terrible?
Yeah, they still do that like once or twice a year.
It's stupid.
It's called Color Rush, I think.
Yeah, and it's horrific. Like, enough with the gimmicks.
Yeah. They just take their home jerseys and just throw some dye into the wash.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got to your event that's coming up on the 18th. It's going to be kind of just a basic release event. So there is going to be kind of like a mini tournament happening, inviting people up for if they want to learn how to play it. It's a fairly simple and easy game to play. It's only got 4 pages of actual rules for the game. Most of the rules are all the symbols. That's the hardest part about the game is learning what the symbols mean. And
yeah, like old school Monpac.
Yeah, yeah.
And current War Machine.
No, there's...
There's a fuckload of symbols in War Machine. We're just so used to it.
Yeah.
Because we played during Mark One, where there were no symbols, really. Well, there were some, but, you know, a few. Like, you know, here's Reach, here's Magical Weapon, whatever. Then they gave more symbols in Mark Two, and then they kept bringing out, like, now there's a million symbols, and they don't even appear as words on the card anymore.
Mark One had no symbols. Because that was, I think that was a Mark Two thing. Full on.
Full on Mark Two?
Yep. Yep, because everything had said on the back of the card, like under the weapon, right. it would have a quality.
Say, like, buckler part one, you know, plus one reach. And,
or reach 2 inches, yeah.
It's just part of, yeah, you're right, because even undead, part of me really thought of like fearless and stuff still being your symbol, but I think you're right. I think that's how.
Yeah, it was, and actually Mark II was right around the time when Monster Apocalypse was released, and I think that was when they were like, we got symbols! Let's put them on everything!
Monster Apocalypse was like a test drive to see how people would handle symbols, and it turned out it was way too many in Monster Apocalypse.
It's like, we only want a sentence of text on these cards! In fact, not even on these cards, because they're all on the miniatures.
Yeah, which made sense, right? They wanted everything to be on the miniature, so literally every single rule was a symbol.
Yeah,
there was no text on any of the models. And there were no accompanying cards. There was just symbols. Because there wasn't even like the monster stat cards with health or anything like there is now. It was just the trackers.
It was just a symbol on the card. Yep.
Yeah. True story. So you got that coming up.
Yep.
ATC, last we checked, there was one team slot left. So
awesome.
By the time this goes out, that might not even be true. But if you're listening to this and you wanted to be at the ATC, double check because there's at most one slot available, possibly zero by now. So if you've been waiting and, you know, sitting on your hands, hurry up, sign up because it's full. Yes, if you're doing that thing that Andy just pantomimed, stop doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Long enough to sign up for the ATC and then go ahead and do it again if it brings you joy. Keep your hands warm. Mm-hmm, keep your butt company.
Mm-hmm. My mom used to yell at me when I was in the car.
Because you were sitting on your hands?
Because I would have my hands and I'd be fidgeting and doing things. And so by habit, if I'm riding passenger in a car, I'm also partially sitting on my hands most of the time. It's fine.
I always just sit on other people's hands in the car.
That's why I love our trips to St. Louis. and then Muse on Con, I believe. I was talking to the Nigel about this.
The Nigel.
I have ass clamp in my head now because of this Brock Sampson bobblehead.
Muse on Con will be June 12th through the 14th of 2020. So it is no longer going to be on a Memorial Day weekend. It is no longer going to interfere with a normal holiday.
It interferes with the most important holiday.
What's
my birthday?
Your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't care about that.
Tears.
I do slightly
like
care
about
it.
Like a fake Native American in a 70s littering commercial.
What? So it may have been a fake Native American, but it was a very true reason for the...
Sure. For the, I wasn't discounting that littering is bad, but that asshole made a lot of money in a really racist way. He was blacking up, basically. He was doing the Al Jolson, but without telling anybody, and just with Native Indigenous people instead of with, you know, black people. He's like, I'll just pretend to be an Injun, and people will believe me, and I'll just wear feathers and all these stereotypes and get paid for it. That's pretty shit.
How much do you think that actor got paid to play that part, though?
His whole career for his whole life was just pretending to be a Native.
Oh, okay. like all those movies?
He did other things beyond that
commercial. Oh, yeah. Beyond that commercial. That guy did a bunch of stuff. And,
whatever. It's fine. I mean, sometimes you get, what is the term? When you have to play the same part over and over and
typecast.
Over. Typecast. Yeah, I think he may have been typecast as that.
He got typecast as a race he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I mean, look how many Irishmen are in The Irishman.
Four?
Are they?
I don't know. I was guessing. I haven't seen The Irishman. It's 7 hours long. And Scorsese sucks.
Yeah.
He doesn't really suck. Well, all of his movies are really good because they're all the same movie. It's like AC/DC.
I would argue
because they're all the same.
I would argue that AC/DC is better
than Scorsese.
Than Scorsese.
I don't know, man. Like if you pick and watch one Scorsese film just ever in your life, you'll be like, "Wow, that guy made one amazing movie and then never did anything else ever."
Has he made some shit movies?
I mean, all of his movies are pretty good. They're just the same. If you've seen Casino, you don't need to see Goodfellas. If you've seen Goodfellas, you don't need to see The Irishman. They're all the fucking same
Goodfellas
movie.
Goodfellas is a much better film than Casino.
You think?
Yeah. I like Goodfellas a lot.
I mean, sure. But I mean, you know, I said pick one and you're fine. Which is why I thought it was so hypocritical that he was bemoaning the fact that comic book action movies are so vapid and whatever. It's like, dude.
I mean, considering the at least the accomplishment that Endgame did that brought 20-some movies together into one full continuity that left a very satisfying ending as compared to another like lifetime storylines that ended this year, which wasn't as great as Endgame. As in Star Wars. Ending of their saga as compared to Marvel's saga.
It's almost different. Like there's the slight difference where one of them had a fucking plan.
Slight plan.
Like, I have no... it's just inexcusable. Like, whether you like or dislike each individual Star Wars film in the sequel trilogy, and even if you like the sequel trilogy as a whole and like where it ended up, that's fine. It is undeniably inexcusable to have made the trilogy with zero overarching plan in mind, especially since they had Kathleen Kennedy as a central vision. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they just randomly made three movies. You had that central person who should have been holding those reins and saying, here are the points we need to hit because here's the overarching storyline.
Yep.
Just such a baffling decision to just be like, meh, YOLO, whatevs.
They did do The Color of Money, Scorsese directed. I didn't like that movie that much.
Sure. Because it's like a worse version of Casino, which is a worse version of Goodfellas.
He directed Bad? As in Michael Jackson's Bad video?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You can tell because it has, you know, gangstas in it.
Sure. Yeah.
I said, you know, Scorsese's fine. I like, he did that, his best movie is one that's just a remake. Or actually, what's that, Scorsese? Maybe I'm misremembering. Who directed Everybody Dies?
The Departed?
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah. So his best movie, he didn't even like that's just a complete ripoff of a Japanese film.
Shutter Island?
I like Shutter Island okay. And actually, it's probably his only movie that's worth a damn that isn't just Goodfellas again.
Hugo.
Oh, I do like Hugo. Stop making me appreciate Scorsese more. I was happy disliking him. Hugo caught me entirely off guard because I didn't realize it was going to be about what it was about.
I've never seen it. What's it about?
It looks like it's about a boy in a train station and his wacky adventures with some girl who befriends him. Mm. And then it turns out it's about the history of silent film and its importance in our life.
Okay.
Oh, so it's just a remake of Last Action Hero.
Yeah, it's just literally exactly a remake of Last Action Hero.
Because I had a lot of, you know, some early films.
That I'm trying to remember the name of that French director, and so I'm going to be Googling it here.
The French director, Pierre something?
No. A Trip to the Moon, directed by...
Oh,
Gerard
is it?
Méliès.
Oh, the old with the face moon.
Yeah, that with the rock in its eye. Yeah. So Georges Méliès, who is probably the single most important person in film history. Just like halfway through Hugo, it turns out the movie's about him.
Oh,
and like okay. Nothing in the trailers mentioned anything about this. He's just all of a sudden, oh, wait, it's Georges Méliès. And it just goes into depth about his experience in cinema and his disenfranchisement with it. It doesn't go as much into how royally fucked over by shitty McMurder's elephants he was. You know, that asshole.
Edison?
Yes, Edison. So it doesn't Edison. Go enough into how much Edison about, fucked him over. Like Edison fucked everybody over, but still, it's a great movie, and I was just surprised that it was basically a biopic of Méliès.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about the Jimmy John's.
Oh,
shark fucker?
Good, yeah. Shark fucker.
I just have to say, what kind of an asshole are you that your PR flack literally has to deny that you were the guy in the picture fucking a shark?
What?
Is that better or worse than being the prime minister who has to admit that he was the guy in the picture fucking the dead pig?
I think that is slightly worse, that the having to admit it, because it is not completely known that Jimmy John was the guy in the picture fucking a shark, but it is a reasonable enough accusation that his PR flack actually had to respond to it.
Sure.
Well, you haven't seen the picture of the guy that looks a lot like Jimmy John fucking a shark?
No, I don't care about Jimmy John's. It's a shitty sandwich place.
I mean, it's a shitty sandwich place run by a terrible human being who might have been photographed fucking a shark. I mean, you should have an appreciation for the combined terribleness of all of this.
It's just Jimmy John's is such an easy one to not go to. Like, you can say what you want about Chick-fil-A being terrible monsters that lead directly to gay children killing themselves, but they are a unique restaurant. Like, you can't get Chick-fil-A food anywhere else. For better or for worse, they are unique. Jimmy John's is just Cousins or Melio's. It's the exact same shit, arguably not as good, but even if it was equally exactly good, that still means you have two options that don't murder endangered animals for fun.
Yeah, it's about.
I would say they're better than Cousins, at least.
Maybe. No, I'd take Cousins.
They're pretty
Cousins.
Similar.
Yeah. They're pretty much the
same. I'll take Melio's any day of the week, but they're...
But, I mean, sandwiches, I mean, boring-ass sandwiches. Okay, they're clearly worse than Firefighters.
The Firehouse subs?
Firehouse subs, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Firehouse is the best subs you can get. Yes. The New York Steamer is the best sandwich on the
Cleveland
planet.
Cleveland Steamer.
The only problem with the New York Steamer is you can never mention it without some asshole giggling and going with Cleveland instead.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they called it the New York Steamer. They had to know this shit was going to happen. No pun intended. But that sandwich is great.
Yeah.
The New York Steamer's delicious.
They're clearly the best sub place. And
I thought you were saying they were worse than Jimmy John's. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Jimmy John's is like down at the very bottom.
I would still put Cousins at the bottom.
My only problem with I've got two problems with Firehouse subs. One, the New York Steamer issue. Which like just call it literally anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the bigger one was
Is it just runny instead of being just a log?
For years. Raylene and I would go to Firehouse Sub every once in a while. We'd split one of those. We'd both get a soda. They got a Coke Freestyle machine there, right?
And places that have Freestyle machines in all of their locations are awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they've got a Freestyle machine there. Now, a lot of places have a unique single beverage in the Freestyle machine. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the only place you're going to get this. Like, some places have Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper, whatever. Their big advertising one is the fact that they have their own special proprietary
cherry limeade,
which cherry limeade is delicious.
Yes.
I try not to drink calories that aren't alcoholic. So, because it's hard, you can't get zero calorie alcohol because alcohol, you know, if it ends in O-hol, it is a sugar and sugar has calories, so you can't do that. But anyway, if I drink soda, it's going to be a no calorie diet soda. I try to drink water, etc. So they've got the cherry limeade, and then they've got the cherry limeade light.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, great, it's in the diet screen, I'm going to go there. So for a long time I was doing those. I figured it used like stevia or something instead of the sugar. Probably not zero calories, but maybe, you know, 20 calories or something.
Yeah.
Finally, I happen to notice the goddamn nutritional info. It has as much sugar and calories in it as Mountain fucking Dew. Their light cherry limeade was as bad for you. And I'd been drinking gallons of that shit. I'd get like a giant tub and a refill for my half sandwich because I thought this is delicious and it's light.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking like a 2 liter of Mountain Dew with my sandwich. Those fuckers, like, you can't call them. And it only counts as light because the regular cherry limeade is horrific. And like an 8 ounce serving was like 240 calories with like 75 grams of sugar. I think eating raw sugar has less sugar than that cherry limeade
has. It's all about perspective. It is light compared to the original.
Yes. It's like being shot is light compared to being disemboweled.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say though that they have my favorite diet drink is on Freestyle machines, and that is you start with the Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist and then mix it about half and half with Mellow Yellow Zero Limeade, which is like the best.
Before Freestyle machines were a thing, I would oftentimes drink. I would mix like Orange Crush and Lemon Lime, mm-hmm. be it Sprite or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was one of my go-tos, which is kind of similar to that. Yeah. Although it wasn't a diet form because you couldn't really like.
That's the big thing I love about Freestyle machines, because I also just, as a personal policy, do not drink any non-alcoholic beverage that has calories in it.
Yeah. And maybe like milk or juice occasionally, but like we're not chugging, you know.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, it's like diet soda, water, iced tea.
Yeah.
My Southern family thinks I'm weird because I drink unsweetened iced tea. But it is fantastic that the Freestyle machines.
In the South, they use the tea as a flavoring with their sugar water, yeah. Not the sugar as a flavoring in their tea.
Yeah. But it is fantastic because that's like the only place that you can have more than two diet sodas available. Because if it's a Coke place, you have Diet Coke. If it's Pepsi, you have Diet Pepsi. Maybe Diet Mountain Dew. But it's great just actually having a choice and several good flavors.
Although the actual pro tip is. Cherry vanilla Diet Dr. Pepper or cherry vanilla Diet Mr. Pibb, whichever your particular one has.
Yeah, that's good too.
I tend to make Dr. Coke.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
So, I basically mix Dr. Pepper with some Coke Zero, and it tastes very goddamn good.
All right. Packers in the red zone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chat mentions, that if you like Mountain Dew, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like Mountain Dew. I was just comparing because it's famously one of the least healthy beverages.
They've had Diet Mountain Dew, which is 10 calories a can for years.
But now they've got a zero sugar, zero calorie.
Okay, yeah.
That's 10 fewer calories.
Also, while we're talking about Freestyle machines, I don't understand how Coke is the first one that does this and has these machines that work from like day one, and the Pepsi versions suck.
Well, I mean, it's the history of soda that like Coke dominates and Pepsi desperately tries to do anything.
Yeah.
Pepsi has a one up on one thing though. Their real sugar Pepsis is fucking amazing.
Are they better than Mexican Coke?
Yes. Yes. The real sugar Pepsis are just there. It's I will grab one from the fridge. I will sit down. I will start my whatever in WoW, and I will have to go back to the fridge immediately because I just drank it.
Sure.
It does That's not dangerous. Stay in the can very long. It is just, it's really good. The real sugar Pepsis. Most of the other products that Pepsi makes is pretty shitty, but the real sugar,
At the commissaries at work, they do not have soda available because, you know, they want to promote like a healthy lifestyle, mm-hmm. which is fine, except they have energy drinks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's no way that soda is worse than this chemical-infused taurine lye. Yeah.
It depends. Well, I mean, if for sugar-wise...
For everything-wise.
There's a lot of sugar-free energy drinks.
Sure.
But, for the amount of caffeine...
a sugar-free caffeine and monster with a Diet Coke. Like, where is the Diet Coke worse than the sugar-free monster?
Well, I mean... Yeah, you could believe my old previous roommate that would say that... If you would have Diet Coca-Cola in a truck, and it would be out in the summer, and it would overheat, it would turn into formaldehyde.
Sure. Is this the roommate who embezzled money from us and shaved his head and is probably in some kind of a militia by now?
No. Well, not if that militia allows him to go to Wendy's once in a while. I've seen him there. So. That is the roommate that.
I'm going to go ahead and discount any opinions he might have.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what kind of facts, but we always it rhymed with trick.
Yeah,
but he always had some weird weird facts that he would spew out, and one of those was that Diet Coke turns into formaldehyde if you leave it out in the sun too long.
I don't think that's the case.
No, that's how science works.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there might be some kind of trace amount.
Formaldehyde didn't exist until they invented Diet Coke. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Formaldehyde is an offshoot of that discovery.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
When are you going to shave your head and join the militia?
Oh, Tuesday.
You know, formaldehyde is in apples, right?
Nope.
No.
It's, okay. There's no Diet Coke in apples. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. It was like, if that was an actual issue, we would hear about
like,
that.
Just the science of that. Like, what?
Yeah. It would turn into formaldehyde.
Yeah.
The picnics around the world would be just, people would be dying. And then you wouldn't even have to preserve their bodies because they already have it inside of them.
So my one issue with the ESPN tracker being up there underneath the chat is that like somebody digging a tick out of somebody's ear that's the pop-up ad next to it?
Probably.
What the fuck have I been looking at for the last half hour? Just some gross-ass ad on ESPN's website of somebody with tweezers digging something out of somebody's ear.
And with blood hanging out. I think it's just an ad for Star Trek 2. That's what they do. That's the Wrath of Khan.
I'm telling myself that it's just a flesh-toned earbud that they are inserting just outside the ear where earbuds go, but they're using tweezers just
with
out of
blood?
Convenience. No, that's the string. That's not the string hanging down.
No, that's blood.
Nope, it's the string hanging down from the earbud.
No. No, I'm sorry. Sorry to say. That is Walter Koenig. That's them in the behind-the-scenes footage of them putting the bugs into his ears.
Walter Koenig, who wasn't in the space seat episode of Star Trek, and he just didn't tell him that because he didn't want...
He didn't want to lose a paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't want Sulu to get the role instead.
Yeah, how do you not fact-check that episode? I mean, to go back and be like, wait a second... Like, anybody through that process, suddenly, you know, during the writing process of it, it's not like it was rushed, kind of like, yeah. Like motion picture.
He wasn't in that season, was he? Yeah. He was hired the next season to attract the young girls audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is hilarious that Walter Koenig was hired specifically as a sex symbol. Good for you, Walter. Also, the only member of the original cast not to lend their own voice to the animated series.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realize the animated series was actually the original cast, but it was. But he did write one episode. He writes an episode called The Infinite Vulcan, where a guy clones Spock and makes him giant.
Mm.
True story.
Speaking of Star Trek, they're working on a 4.
Touchdown.
Yeah, Touchdown, Star Trek. Right. I like most of the new Star Treks.
I only actually saw the first one.
That's the best of them.
The reason I liked the first one, and the reason is that everything I saw from the later ones, I was like, I don't think this is going to be as good.
The second one was absolutely terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. Famously, I gave it a B+.
I can say that I saw part of the second one and had no desire to see
the second
thing.
One is like Dark Knight Rises, where the further I get away from it and the more I think about it, the more I hate it. Like, I got out of the theater after Dark Knight Rises and was like, that movie had a lot of issues, but I guess it was okay. Yeah. And then now I'm like, Dark Knight Rises is like, it is the worst comic book movie. It was fucking hot trash.
But there's still Batman and Robin. It was better than Batman and Robin. I could stand through... Well, Batman and Robin is jokingly bad, though.
Right, I disagree with the route that they took Batman in the Joel Schumacher movies, but...
I would take
Batman. If you're going to have a Bat credit card, you're not going to do it any better than Batman and Robin did it. And their stupid, terrible version of Bane at least is its own thing. Oh, my Lord.
Boom!
Why? Nothing in Batman or Dark Knight Rises makes a goddamn lick of sense.
Yeah.
I like the portrayals, though. I mean, I like the portrayal of Bane. I like the whole backbreaking sequence was very... Yeah. Entertaining, but yeah, there's parts that are amazing, parts that are just horrible. I'm going to take 8 years off.
Remember when he breaks Bruce Wayne's back, and so he goes to an underground prison in like India, and then Bane apparently flies there just to talk to him for 30 seconds, and then fly back to Gotham?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he just give that speech to him right then and there in the sewers? Mm-hmm. Or maybe like send him a video? Like, that's like 2 days of air travel. And I don't mean like it takes 2 days to do. The actual in-air time is like 2 days.
It's got to be hard on somebody with a breathing apparatus as well.
I mean, maybe he was like below a threshold in his frequent flyer miles.
Sure. How many cops does Gotham City have?
All of them.
Like New York has like 40,000 cops, mm-hmm. and it's smaller than Gotham City. So if we assume Gotham City has 50,000 cops, did they all go into the sewers and they're all in that one area with no manhole covers that the bombs trapped them in there? Mm-hmm. There's like 50,000 people just huddled in a room for 6 months, and then they come out all clean shaven?
Well, the thing is, though, I've always envisioned Chicago as being Gotham City.
No, Gotham is, I mean, the traditional...
Metropolis is New York day and Gotham is New York
night. Yeah, I mean, traditionally, the metropolis is the shiny part of New York, and Gotham is its dark underside. They're both...
Wait, hold on. I've seen Batman v Superman. It's just right across the bay.
Yeah, they changed it so that that could happen. But even still, I'm sure Chicago has more than 25 policemen.
Yeah, like, true. Very true.
Like, all of the cops were in the sewers? All of them?
Yeah, and that movie was also just such a disappointment after Dark Knight, which was actually really good.
Right. Dark Knight's like, you know, top three superhero movies ever.
Yeah.
Well, top five for certain. Probably top three.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
So ones that are possibly in my top five, and I can't even on the drop of the hat narrow down the top three, which is why I'm not certain about Dark Knight, but it includes Dark Knight, it includes the first Incredibles, it includes Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And there's just there. I know there's probably a couple others.
I can tell you one more that's not in there.
Well, I know you'd go with the first Superman.
Fucking first Superman's amazing film. But no, Logan.
Sure, Logan. Right? Yeah. Like,
but I almost don't even consider that.
Right, and that
a superhero.
That one's
film?
Kind of rough to decide whether it counts or not. But even just straight spandex and punching a supervillain, like.
Fuck, it's Superman 1 and 2.
I don't think I like Dark Knight better than the first Incredibles or Into the Spider-Verse.
I like Dark Knight more than I like The Incredibles. Incredibles is a great Fantastic Four film. We've always talked about that as being the best Fantastic Four film, right past Roger Corman's version, which that is the second best.
It has the most faithful Doom.
It has the most faithful Doom. Honestly, the whole thing is amazing. I love it. It's so good.
Chat, I'm talking about superheroes. So not any comic books, but on the flip side, it doesn't even have to be comic books. So like if you like Meteor Man, I don't think was from a comic book. It was just something that
I would not put Meteor Man in the same category.
Example of a superhero film that didn't necessarily have an origin in the comics.
Sure.
Are you're racist? You're just not like Robert Townsend?
No, isn't that Eddie Murphy?
No, it's not Eddie Murphy.
Meteor Man? I thought it was Eddie Murphy.
Wow, you are racist.
I must be. You're fact-checking me? I could have sworn... Probably not.
No, it's...
Didn't Eddie Murphy do...
Yeah, it's Robert Townsend.
Okay.
Screenplay by Robert Townsend, director by Robert Townsend, starring Robert Townsend as Meteor Man, written, directed, and starring. There he be.
That's not Eddie Murphy.
He did Pluto Nash was Eddie Murphy.
Ah, that's what I'm thinking of. Both outer space things.
No. No. Meteor Man took place, I think, in Harlem. It took place on Earth.
Yeah, but he is outer spacey. Meteors that come from outer space.
And I guess Earth is in outer space.
It is. You know? It is.
Technically,
so, yeah, I'm right.
Technically, you know, Bonfire of the Vanities is an outer space movie.
So is Broken Arrow. That's a great outer space film. That movie is gloriously bad.
Oh, my Lord.
I love Broken Arrow, too.
They made a second one?
Oh, that would be... I think so. I think they actually have.
No. Probably. Like, direct-to-DVD starring Christian Slater.
Christian Slater has a very hot, cold resume.
Oh, Lord. How dare you badmouth Meteor Man? What about Blank Man?
No.
As long as we're going with...
No, I don't like Wayans films. I cannot think of a good Wayans film that I enjoyed. Besides, no, he's not part of that one. Or one of them.
So it depends on what you're generically using as the term Wayans.
Like Major Payne is the.
Right. But,
like the Lady Killers?
No, who's the older brother? I'm blanking on his freaking
Tom
name.
Hanks.
He had a talk show.
There's Damon Wayans.
Right.
Marlon Wayans.
No. Keenan Ivory Wayans. So Keenan Ivory Wayans did some like more legitimate stuff kind of prior to the Wayans brothers of like Marlon and the other ones going. Like, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka is a fun movie, right? And Hollywood Shuffle, it's Robin Townsend directing it, but I think Keenan Ivory Wayans helped
to
write it.
No, I thought Eddie Murphy was in that one.
Yeah, Marlon Wayans was in Lady Killers.
I actually haven't seen
the remake by the Coen. Yeah, the Coen brothers. It is not the Coen brothers' strongest film, but it's not terrible. I feel like Lady Killers and Intolerable Cruelty are the Coen brothers' films that just kind of get kicked to the curb and people don't give them respect because I don't think people straight comedy by the Coen brothers is like almost rejected in a way.
Mm-hmm. The Jesus Rolls.
Yeah, Keenan Ivory Wayans helped to write Hollywood Shuffle, which Hollywood Shuffle is a legitimately good film.
I have not seen it, so. But I mean,
it's about the struggles of being a black actor in Hollywood, and so it doesn't necessarily speak to anybody at this table. But like, it's got like the great scene, like that puts the whole point on it. It's like he it's this guy trying to like make it big in Hollywood. What are you shaking your head at?
I was going to say is I like Robert Townsend and Bowfinger.
No! No! Wrong! So racist.
No, I'm just making shit
no.
up.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
You're like that guy who was interviewing Samuel Jackson. He talked about him being in, like, I forget what commercial it was, but he's like, you know, yeah, you were in that one commercial, the Super Bowl. And he's like, that was Lawrence Fishburne, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the end of that interview. Like, there's no recovering from that.
the video of that is hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking I was gonna share because you know like I always got Nick Nolte and
Harrison Ford
mixed. No, it wasn't Harrison Ford. That was Dennis Quaid and Harrison Ford.
Yes.
It was Nick Nolte and fuck. Now I can't remember the other one.
Mystery Men is a fun hero comedy. There's also the other one that isn't Mystery Men that I'm blanking on. I'm going to Google a movie that isn't Mystery Men and see if Google is able to pull it up because other people might have the same brain that I have.
But that's a comic book movie, though, because that is from a comic book, Mystery Men. It's from Dark Horse Comics, I want
to
say.
I remember the movie I'm trying to think of. Google did not bring it up through movie that isn't Mystery Men.
Just look up superhero team like Mystery Men.
I don't need to.
I mean, talking about other good comic book films that aren't ones, Chronicle is one. That one is a kind of a really cool origin story of a hero and a villain.
I was going with The Specials. That's the one I was trying to think of that's not Mystery Men. But it's a similar, you know, like shitty superhero team.
There's that one that's
written by James Gunn.
Ooh. There's the one that's got Rainn Wilson in it.
Super?
Yeah, the Super, which is...
It's not the Super. It's just Super. Super,
yeah.
But the best thing about that movie is Nate Newby loves that movie, and he'd mention Super, and I'd be like, oh, the Joe Pesci film? And he would always get angry at me, even though he knew that I was doing it on purpose. Like, I did it to him 50 times, and every time it would still piss him off. It was great. Gift that keeps giving.
The Joe Pesci, The Super, is not a good film.
I don't know. I like that part with he and Alan Page and like he's a superhero.
Not that's not Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that's The Super.
Also, Joe Pesci looks fucking old. I've seen clips of him in The Irishman. I haven't watched The Irishman, but whoo boy.
All right. Well, missed field old. Goal. Hmm? Missed field goal by the Seahawks. Yay.
Okay.
So it's still 14-3.
Yep.
Take and they
get
that.
The ball, get the ball back in good positioning.
You don't like The Super with Joe Pesci? It's a damn shame what they did to that dog. Actually, that's not from The Super. That's from Coming to America. I was mixing up the movies that have...
with Robert Townsend?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Robert Townsend is in Coming to America.
He might be.
He might be. Like, Eddie Murphy really did make the effort to have, like, every black actor from that time period be in Coming to America.
I guess Eddie did really well on Saturday Night Live. I only watched the Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood of the recent hosting on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, solid in general. I liked his he had a very edgy joke during his monologue talking about like he never saw himself being here. It was like
mid-'80s
if you thought that I would be here.
If you had the bet that I would be here and Bill Cosby would be in prison, I would have taken it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fine. He's a rapist. Like, I don't feel sorry for him. Like, I saw articles that are like, Bill Cosby angry about joke. It's like, yeah, well, I'm angry that you're a rapist. So yeah, we'll call it even.
Thanks for entertaining me as a child and now making me reflect upon all that, just who you are during that entire time.
Thanks for making it so I can't listen to any of those great comedy CDs I have of yours without feeling terrible inside, dickhead. Yep. Also, you know, the rape also was bad.
You should well, I guess it is. Is it just... Would it be the rapes?
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I didn't,
they leaned really heavily into having him just do those old skits, having him do Gumby, having him do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, having him do Buckwheat. But they're fucking classics for a reason, and they were fun to see again. Like, I don't care that it was just like, hey, remember when he was Gumby? Because you know what? Yes, I do, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And thanks for doing it again.
Yeah. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, the updated for 2019 was great.
I liked his the 23andMe, which is where 23 people claim to be his son. Good times.
Yeah. No. Now if we could just get John Candy and John Belushi on for a reunion show, it'd be great. Oh.
Wow, Robin Townsend is younger than I thought he was. He must have been super young in those movies.
John Candy was on SCTV, not SNL.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So that but would he's be, also that dead,
would,
too.
Yeah, no, but well, it wouldn't even be a proper reunion anyway.
I think he wasn't
he may have hosted once, but he wasn't on.
I agree with chat. The Losers is an underappreciated film. That was a fun little movie.
That's with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got Gamora in it.
Yeah, that's a comic book.
Like, it kind of just came and went, and nobody gave a shit. But that was a fun little movie.
But that's also got Captain America in it, too.
Maybe.
If I remember correctly.
I don't know.
We'll look up. You are stuck to IMDb. I'm busy looking at Robert Townsend. Well, just go to a different page of, you're on Google. Just go to IMDb. It's pre-installed on your phone for a reason.
What?
Oh, is fuck it? IMDb.
Mine is.
I don't think it's mine
previously
on
was.
Mine.
Yeah.
The Losers cast. I'm looking at it. Zoe Saldana, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Chris Evans, Oscar Yanada, Idris Elba, Columbus Short, Jason Patrick, Holt McCollum, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's got a ton of people that are Avengers.
Idris Elba very confused in his headshot for the Google cast listing. It's like he's squinting at something, trying to read it without his contacts in, and or he just smelled a fart.
I think he smelled a fart. That'd be my guess. He's trying to figure out who dealt it. What's his detective role that's in the BBC? For Idris
Elba?
No,
that's Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, there's a show with him. That's over there too, and I cannot think of what it is.
Is it Skins?
Luther, I think.
Is it about Luther Vandross?
Yes. He plays the singer who travels around the world. I think it's Luther.
I feel like something very... Did The Losers come out about the same time as the A-Team adaptation? Or why else did The Losers just kind of... I feel like it was the volcano to something else's Dante's Peak.
It was close, I think, around the A-Team.
It was 2010. They both came out.
Yeah. The A-Team is a great film, too.
They fly a tank.
Which is
scientifically possible.
Scientifically possible.
I was going to say, my wife asked me, it's like, does the physics work on that? And I said, yeah, but you would die.
No, they proved it.
At the very last moment, they fired directly downward to break their momentum just enough, combined with the shape of the tank going into the water. It's possible. We're talking like a 1 in 100 chance of surviving. But
1 in 100? No.
Technically, they could survive.
Technically, it could work, but yeah, you would die.
Also, they specifically showed the back of the tank showing that it had an electric engine, so they didn't have to worry about like the exhaust being flooded while they were underwater. So that part also was scientifically accurate. Drive that bitch right out of the lake.
I wish I knew the YouTube video I had on that, but it was like a 20-minute discussion about how they flew that tank in the film there.
And I mean, realistically, any modern tank is going to be completely waterproof because they all have to be secure against chemical weapons. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's not the difficult part. The idea is that
they did the math, shooting downward at just the last second, they're okay.
And you could steer a tank using it because of the velocity as well. Yeah. No, that whole sequence is just fucking amazing with the 50 cal on top. It probably shouldn't have been loaded when it's in drop mode. But the 50 cal on top, shooting at other things. Oh, so good.
They'd still die.
Yeah, it's real physics from the escapist.
Yeah.
Discussing whether you can, in real R-E-E-L, it's a pun, you see. Oh, look, there's a CinemaSins video I'm not going to watch.
They're fucking stupid.
Did you finally come around to the stance I've been doing for like half a decade now?
I never really watch them though, but I've clicked on their clickbait before, and I'm just usually it's something that's not a sin. That is something that we know as the audience, and characters in the film don't have a fucking clue what it is.
Or sometimes, like, it's stuff that they do know, and it's like they just wanted to throw a sin in there, so they just lie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no. Or my favorite is they'll just, like, mention some random thing and then give it a sin. They'll be like, you know, that guy's wearing a hat. Ding. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Who gives a fuck that some guy's wearing a hat? Like, you just wanted to make a ding sound effect.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. People click on them. Like, I don't even hate watch them because that's how the algorithm works. Like, views give them money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch that shit. Don't watch CinemaSins or CinemaWins, or they've got a television one now. They've got like 7 channels that all do the same thing, and they're all fucking terrible.
I just watch What Culture Wrestling. That's all I watch.
It's fine. I watch the What Culture Video Gaming Peoples.
Which they sometimes cross over.
They sometimes do. Yeah. I think Jules is on both of them. And Jules usually is the best.
He's the one with one per list.
Yeah, that's his one per list. One per list, David.
One per list.
Yeah, it's usually about your mom.
It's always about your mom. He's allowed one your mom joke per list. That is a company mandate from Walt Culture, that he gets one of those per list.
Well, he's the guy that's running the whole ship over there, from my understanding.
Well, still, then it's a gimmick that he put forward that's adorable.
Because
then you're excited for when his one per list is going to come in.
He doesn't do them when they're through Death Tribute ones, though. He doesn't put those one per those. Oh, yay. I don't have anything else to talk about. Zappities?
Yeah, so Chad, Jim's mentioned thing they do the show as a joke. Yeah, it's not funny. Like, people defend it claiming it's satire. That's not how satire works.
It's a joke on a higher level, clearly.
It is not. It is clickbait, and people use that as an excuse to justify it. It is just utter trash.
No, I say this, I have never heard of this thing before. So.
How it should have ended, I can enjoy, because they usually have, you know, relatively interesting nitpicks. Like, the other one I've actually just, like, marathoned the entire thing of the last couple weeks is the it's a Screen Rant sub video, the pitch meetings, where like the guy, it's just one guy like playing both parts, but it's like the script writer pitching a movie to like the Hollywood executive, and they'll describe what's happening in the movie, and of course they nitpick the shit out of stuff, and they're hilarious because the nitpicks are usually like justifiable things, and then they also plan to be just like, yeah, don't worry about it, nobody's gonna care. And it's like, that's true.
Yeah, but that's just a how long ago has that happened?
What do you mean?
The screen or the pitch meeting.
Just the last couple of years.
I'm wondering how that dates to the Gremlins 2 pitch meeting from Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Because that's satire and that's entertaining. Also, fact.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But, like, there's no satire to the CinemaSins thing because it's not lampooning anything.
No.
Like, is it supposed to be making fun of people that nitpick? Well, then have stupid nitpicks and make fun of the fact they're nitpicking. But then they have some actual ones, and it's just all over the place with no focus purpose to the videos except to be clickbait and get people to watch it and whatever. And maybe they have a decent podcast, because maybe on the podcast they aren't insufferable shitheads, but the CinemaSins things I utterly despise. They're of zero worth or value from an entertainment or from a educational cinema discussion standpoint. They bring nothing of worth to the table.
Yeah, just pointing it out. Just, I mean, like I said, it's a plot point that watching the film, we understand that this is wrong for characters to do, but they're playing characters in there that don't have the knowledge of outside
even
world.
Then the characters sometimes do. You'll watch a movie and like it'll be a detective thing, and one person will come to the other and go, I've tracked down their base. Their base is at the docks. And then they'll go to the docks, and then they'll be at the docks, and CinemaSins will be like, how do they know they're at the docks? Bing! Because they just fucking told you that they tracked them down. Like, they legit do shit like that. And it's like, what is the point of that joke? Is it a joke? Or are you just so bad at watching films and you do these in like one take? Or is it just that you want to fill a 15-minute video with 100 beeps and you don't care if they make any sense at all? And I know the answer to that because it's the last one of those. Yeah. It's just infuriating because it's not ironic or straight-faced, which means they have no excuse in either way.
They're just looking to have their total be up there. It's like, hey, look, the Dark Knight's got 34 sins in it.
Yeah, and half of them might be legitimate, and half of them are going to be stupid as hell. And either way, people are going to go, yay, and they're going to clap, and then they're going to make money off of ads. Yeah. And that's all it is. And like I said, maybe they actually have useful information on like their podcasts and other videos because they are film buffs. That's fine, but that's independent of this product, and that product is terrible.
I would equate that to being the same thing as the trivia pages on IMDb.
So bad.
Sometimes can be absolutely very, very awesome little nuggets that are very neat, that, you know, but most of the time it's so-and-so played with so-and-so in this movie.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, all right, that's handy for the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon people, but I don't know.
Nothing to do with this film. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Snip, snap.
I don't think we have any other announcements. Are there any War Machine Hordes events coming up? Isn't there one in Milwaukee or something?
There was one on Saturday, but kind of
like
got snowed out.
Yeah, snowed out.
The snowpocalypse, which really didn't happen.
Did not.
Down here. It happened south of us, but not here.
But yeah, apparently they had like 14 people interested and only 3 showed up because of the weather.
I'd imagine so. Like that doesn't surprise me. On the other hand, then if the person who's running it joins in, you have 4 people and they can do a round robin in 3 rounds, and that's a decent day of playing War Machines.
Yeah. So we've got new people, and we've got one of the new guys that's in playing form to go to the like the traditional rite of passage of a Madison War Machine player, which is to carpool down to Iowa and win a team tournament.
Sure.
Good I know time. There's a, yeah.
Hmm?
There's going to be a Guild Ball event coming up soon too.
Right. First and goal on the 2.
Yep. All right. Are we on to our Zappity Grumbles?
Well, that's fast. Sure. I guess it's been an hour.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're angry at CinemaSins.
Yes.
Been paying more
what
attention
is happening
to the football
on
game.
Your ESPN? Now I'm just seeing like a guy holding a knife or something. Somebody's rock climbing.
Yeah, this is so half
I
of an ad.
The
is terrible.
Tick ear,
it's fantastic.
But now where the game's supposed to be, it's just more ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not interfering with the.
But it's still better than CinemaSins.
It is. Yeah, anything is.
Guy has tick in ear. Bing!
What is something from your childhood that you really wanted to hold up that didn't? And what is something that did hold up that surprised you? I haven't watched the Herculoids yet. I'm hoping that that does well.
Careful.
Herculoids or Thundar the Barbarian. I'm very scared for Thundar the Barbarian because that's
not going to be good.
That's not going to be good. But I mean,
Mega Man 2.
Huh?
Mega Man 2.
Still is absolutely phenomenal.
Any NES game is still good.
No.
What?
No.
What do you think is bad then?
I mean, considering how many games were out for the NES and most of them were actually bad.
Well, anyone that was good is probably still
most
good.
Most of them.
Few of them will be tainted by nostalgia.
Correct.
Yeah.
Although that reminds me of something that I heard not relatively, it was like a month ago, but I keep forgetting to bring it up, but it was just kind of really interesting. Is somebody was talking about the Dark Souls games and the whole like get good thing and everything like that. And they used a phrase that I know Andy and I have used to describe other games, but I've never heard it used towards Dark Souls. And it made so much sense. It just blew my fucking mind. Nintendo hard. The Dark Souls games are just Nintendo hard. Some asshole skeleton hiding around a corner to one shot you off of a cliff is no more bullshit than every single bird in a Ninja Gaiden game.
Yeah. or fucking
the entirety of Bionic Commando.
Sure. Like, it's no more bullshit. And as kids, we just knew, like, you played the game over and over again and you get a little further each time, and now you know that asshole bird's gonna come out of that fucking spot when you're trying to jump over some dude with a knife in Castlevania, and you just eventually memorize the game. And Dark Souls is no different. And I was like, wow, you know, like, concept I'd listened to, and I'd equated the same thing, but I never thought of it exactly as Nintendo hard.
Also, fuck spikes in Bionic Commando, because they give you, like, almost all other games for Nintendo, if you fall on spikes, you just die instantly.
Yeah.
But by Bionic Commando, you bounce around a couple times going, I might live. I'm dead.
It is the hope is the cruelest gift you can give someone. And Bionic Commando is like, maybe you could recover. Oh, nope, you're dead.
Yeah, because you're bounce, dead. Yeah.
With my last breath, I curse Zoidberg and spikes take you out.
I do think it is interesting, though. I recently played Dark Souls 1 Remastered because I hadn't played it, because I haven't. I had played 2. I mean, I played 2 Bloodborne and 3, the core games in the line. And I think it's interesting how much some things have changed from 1 to 3, and how little some things have.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting that because how influential Dark Souls was on the past decade of video gaming.
And society in general. Like, people still use the Dark Souls of as a describer for things. To the original question during this chat, it occurred to me, Kroll. Kroll is an unironically great movie that I love. And people like some cheesy, dumb 80s film, watch Kroll. It's great. It's like Lord of the Rings with aliens. And did you know that if you kiss a princess, your hand can turn into a flamethrower? Because fuck you, that's why. It's the power of love. You can shoot fire out of your hands.
Kroll would be much better if it was
in that movie.
Kroll would be much better if it had Huey Lewis in the News doing the soundtrack to it.
Sure, because that's the power of love. Is that what we're going with? If that just blared during that shot.
I love Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis,
yep, something from my childhood that has stood the test of time, Huey Lewis. And he's still the greatest.
Yeah. And then the thing that didn't hold up, I'm guessing this might have inspired the question, but last episode I talked about it, I regret watching an episode of Hong Kong Phooey. I deeply regret watching an episode of Hong Kong Phooey.
But he's number one super guy.
Oh, man, I loved that show as a kid. Turns out it was terrible.
Well, mine was He-Man. Masters of the Universe. I tried sitting through a regular episode of that. And it's not ironically good with Skeletor. It's just not good.
It's like all of the cartoons I watch except for Galactic Rangers, which holds up and the rest of them don't. It's like the only one that only lasted for like 2 seasons because they couldn't make any money because they weren't actually trying to sell toys.
So it's almost like it had artistic integrity, and maybe that's why it still holds up.
Yeah.
What a concept. Zappity.
There is some amazing shows on... I'll recommend the channel in a second.
I said zappity, you son of a bitch!
Your favorite personal lubricant?
Nah.
Nah. Nah. I mean, if I've got a squeaky wheel, I use WD-40.
Yeah.
And that's only if it's a squeaky wheel. Not... Yeah.
Apparently, for the other aspect of lubricant, you're supposed to use water-based.
Correct. Zappity.
Rumble.
What movie or movie franchise would you like to see expanded upon in a Netflix-style series? So probably a good example would be something like Dark Crystal.
Sure, or The Mandalorian. Whatever. The one that I've been waiting for years, because they claimed they were working on it, but there's zero chance that there's... like. It should have come out by now, is The Continental. I want that television series that follows the hotel from John Wick instead of just John Wick. I want to see the stories of all those other characters. You could do a random person each week, and they're just random adventure, completely unrelated anthology series, and it would be wonderful. do want?
I want... Mm. It's going to be weird because it's using the word want. I want a series developed with the first character that you are introduced to in the show or in the movie Wanted. Basically, it's the dad of that hitman.
That's another comic book movie.
It is a comic book movie, but I don't know the actor's name, but that first sequence in Wanted is so good.
I've never seen Wanted. I heard the ending's really dumb.
It's not bad. It's, you know, they've got curving bullets.
No, not that. Just like something can write the future, but then they like nothing people do makes sense. Like people die instead of just not dying and stuff like that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either because I haven't seen it. But I read something that said it was dumb, and the internet never lies.
Fair. Yeah, I bet you there's a Cinnamon Sins episode on it.
Bing. Guy wears pants. Bing!
Can I just pass on this one because I don't actually watch Netflix series?
Well, even not Netflix, but just like what's like a movie or movie series you want to spin off TV show?
I mean, I don't really watch TV shows, so
it's like... son of a bitch. Fine.
Yeah, that's...
That fucker. It's this guy over here.
So, I mean, do I get to say, yeah, people should create this product that I'm not going to pay any attention to anyway?
What movie series would you like a whole bunch more movies from, but you'd be okay if those additional movies, like let's say like a dozen more movies, were all only like an hour long instead of two?
I don't know, but that like ruins most movie series.
Mandalorian is basically resurrected Star Wars for me.
I've tried so hard.
I love how much practical effects is in Mandalorian. It feels, and it's so weird because there's a lot of shots of behind the scenes, and Lucas is sitting there right next to Favreau through the entire series.
Why is Lucas involved?
He's involved with it. Yeah, Lucas is not that bad if he's under control. If he's reined in by other people, that's why Jedi and Empire work.
Japanese.
If somebody would have told it was Gumball, damn it, I was going to try to formulated more of a sentence. I think that's it.
What? Somebody sent us a question in our chat or in our messenger.
Oh, we did.
They asked about there is a famous statue outside of Camp Randall Stadium that it's called Nails Tails, and it's an obelisk made out of piled up footballs that, depending on who you ask, either looks like corn on the cob or like a whole bunch of dicks or a pile of skulls.
I was going to say, literally, when I moved up here and I saw that, the first thing I saw at the distance, I was like, is that supposed to be an obelisk with skulls? And
I think it always looks like an ear of corn. I always thought it looked like an ear of corn.
Ear of corn. When people say it looks phallic, I mean all obelisks look phallic.
I mean that's the point of an obelisk.
Really. Yeah, correct.
You have a giant, you have a giant pointy stone dick pointing to the sky. I mean that's the idea.
Suck on this, Yahweh.
Pretty much.
It does look like it does look like a skulls though. If people see it that way, then it's an
ear
fine.
Of corn. Well, they took it down.
Oh, they did?
They did. Oh, I never go to that part of campus.
They took it down last, April or June or something. They were going to, they didn't, wreck it. They very gingerly took it down and put it into storage. I think they're going to put it back up somewhere. Mm-hmm. But they renovated the front of Camp Randall. So the corn cob skull pile football dick is currently not there.
Okay.
I do have a Zappity Grumble from last week, though, that was sent to us. How are you going to get out of being conscripted into World War III?
By fucking being old. Fat and old, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my service ended, oddly enough, June 13th of 2001. That was when my service ended through the U.S. military.
Yeah.
And you know what happened in September. So if they can't get me back for September 11th, they're not... That's not going to happen. Also, that's 19 years ago.
Yeah, my wife had
my birthday.
Yeah, my wife had me look up
June 13th.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was born on the day that the first Friday the 13th movie takes place.
Oh, nice.
And my wife had me look up the rules for the draft, and because she had Googled it a couple of times and said she found a lot of different ideas of what it is. And from going through it, it's like, turns out it requires an act of Congress to actually reinstate the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And that act of Congress can set the rules however they want. So there aren't rules.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So. And it's still very odd, though, that only males have to send in for selective service.
Part of that is because there hasn't been any change to the actual draft to the actual selective service since the 90s. Yeah. And that was as far as I can tell, if they did reinstate the draft, they would have a lot of problem drafting anyone over 25 because they don't have the infrastructure in place for it. Mm-hmm. But they only actually keep track of people from 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. And they also apparently are bad at tracking people that are close to the end of their selective service availability. So the answer is that it doesn't really matter because it is exactly as difficult, that is, an act of Congress to reinstate the draft as it is to change the rules to whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're probably not going to draft people over 25 because they haven't been keeping track of them.
Yep. Plus, World War III will consist of 12 people pressing some buttons and turning some keys.
I said ultimately the big thing is that in an actual serious war, we would pull out all of the drones that we are hiding from the world right now and be fighting with the drones over human soldiers.
Well, let's just hope that there's not a World War III.
Well, it'd be nice if there wasn't.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Especially because it'll be awkward being the baddies in a world war. We've never overtly been the bad guys in a world war before.
No.
So, you know, I guess we were the good guys in both the first two world wars.
We felt like we were
on the good team.
We were on the good team.
For the second one, we definitely held out. Like, basically, everyone was going, please help us. Please, God, help us. And like,
well, that is
it
not...
was a dick move, but the team we eventually joined was the good team.
That's,
yes.
Even if we sandbagged the good team
because
we thought another player on the good team was going to be... like. We screwed the latter half of that war so badly because we were already planning to hate Russia. Like,
that is not an entirely fair assessment of American participation in World War II because we were never really neutral. We were from the beginning actively aiding the Allies.
We were in World War I also.
Yeah. Not quite as much in World War I, but in World War II from the beginning we were aiding the Allies and we were pissing off the Axis because we were aiding the Allies and still insisting on being treated as neutrals, and that was kind of part of the reasons that they had Pearl Harbor, that they're like, well, they're already fucking with us, so let's actually do something to them.
Right, and that also, conspiracy theory time, is why we allowed Pearl Harbor to happen, is because we were sick of not actually being in the war.
It's more complex than that.
No.
Yeah.
No. There are very few conspiracy theories I believe, but the one that I believe wholeheartedly is that Roosevelt specifically was aware of Pearl Harbor and let it happen so he would have an excuse to go to full-fledged support of the Allied troops.
From doing some reading about what people understand of it, what my understanding from the historical perspective is, the current most likely outcome is it wasn't Roosevelt, but it was somebody in the military intelligence chain that specifically sat on the information to make it more likely to happen.
Like, once you read about the bomb plot, there is zero chance that we didn't know that shit was going to happen. Like, the Japanese embassy sent a note saying, please tell us exactly how deep all parts of Pearl Harbor are and what kinds of torpedoes would function best there. Thank you. And we sent that to them. Like, you get that from someone who's actively at war against people you're supporting again in war against them?
Yeah.
All right. Zappity.
Wow. Global.
And also, somebody had asked that sent us a private message, how do you miss Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light?
What?
The toy lines and that and cartoons from the 80s.
Were the one of the ones that have like a hologram on the chest that you rubbed with your thumb and it would show like
the hologram
on
the chest
little...
or the hologram on the banner?
It was both.
Okay.
Both. And then the re-release models, because I watched a whole big toy series on this, the re-release of those characters just had foil stickers on their chest and banner, which was really sad because, come on, it's a hologram. It's not that hard to make. Well, actually, it is kind of hard to make, but yeah. Also, it was a very short-lived television series.
People had such big hard-ons for holograms, like during the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember specifically just getting the National Geographic episode.
The National Geographic one that had the hologram skull as the cover.
Yeah, the skull on the cover of it. Yeah, I remember getting that. Because
that was going to be the big thing, and then nothing happened.
The toy that I had a billion of...
Sectors?
Sky Commanders. Which Sky Commanders were like, they were smaller, like they're like maybe, you know, the three-inch mm-hmm. tall little people, mm-hmm. like slightly smaller than G.I. Joes or whatever. And they all had like a bungee cord built into them that was on a little like thing you would wrap the cord around with a little clip that would clip onto like their arm. And then their toys all came with like strings, and you'd make your whole bedroom into like a spider web, and they would all slide down there, and all, and there were like wider like tracks that were like a ribbon, and things would like go along there, and you'd build all these this shit, and it was amazing. And it had like, you know, a one season show as an excuse for the toys, just like something like Mask would have.
Yep.
But Sky Commanders was my jam. I owned so fucking much of that toy line.
My boxes over there, I've got a bunch of toys from the 80s that I should. I already put a lot of them up.
I think my favorite one was that I don't even know what it was called. It was the line of people that rode insects and spiders.
Sectors.
Sectors.
Yeah, they had hand puppets for the bug. They had hand puppets.
Those were awesome. Yep.
I was just going to check in shopping, you know, on the Googles if I could get like a bucket of random old Sky Commanders for like $20.
Probably not.
Yeah, five toys, $175.
Yeah. A lot of the
command station that I owned, $400.
Yeah, I've been watching another channel, so we might as well zappity and grumble and go straight into recommendations. Mm-hmm. I recommend a YouTube channel. It's all about your childhood. It is called Toy Galaxy. Mm-hmm. It has history of just about every single television show. You know how it came about, who was involved, where the toy line came from, et cetera, et cetera. It is an amazing channel, narrated by a likable host. It is great. The channel is called Toy Galaxy. It is filled with all of your nostalgia. And that's where I knew about... Well, I had some Sectors back then, but he goes into the toy line for that, goes into the toy line for Visionaries, through all the He-Man Masters of the Universe. He probably has the single best review of the USS Flag, which I'll place that up on the Crippled System.
USS Flag?
Yeah, the USS Flag. The 7-foot aircraft carrier for G.I. Joe.
Yeah, gotcha.
The one that you're like, yeah, when I'm an adult and I have a job, I'll buy. And then you look on eBay and you're like, nope.
Well, back then it was like almost $200 to get. But
yeah, now they're like $6,000.
But it's fucking... I mean, that is... That's the epitome of your childhood. I had a friend that had the USS Flag, and that was awesome.
Yeah, no, I never knew anybody that had that. I knew somebody that had Unicron, and that was fucking awesome enough.
Unicron didn't exist as a toy.
There's
you might be thinking of like Omega Supreme.
Maybe
or
I'm
something.
Thinking of Omega Supreme.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys, but Unicron didn't actually exist as a playset.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the Flag for me. For me, the toy that I was jealous of the people that had was the battery-powered walking AT-AT.
Oh, yeah.
The one that was like the size of a dog. That thing was fucking amazing.
I like a Tack Track back then.
Bet you do.
Well, I mean, the big problem with the walking AT-AT is that it looks like you had to make sure the floor was almost perfectly level and spotless, or it just wouldn't work. Because, I mean, this is toy engineering in the 80s was not at the level it should have been.
Or the batteries run out and then you just smash it around and it doesn't matter.
But the Attack Track, that worked. That worked over everything because that was the one with the tank treads that would kind of flip around and go out.
You know what didn't need a clean floor to play with? Sky Commanders.
Well, the other one was, it's another He-Man one. It was a Dragon Track and it was... It was one that had like 2 feet on it. It would go along the track. It would stop at the foot, and it would swing around the back foot.
Yeah, sure. I know that one. It just occurred to me, like, how fucking annoying the Sky Commanders must have been for my parents.
Sure.
Because, sure, my room was full of the spider web of all these toys that were connected to each other. But, you know, I would have put them up high enough to walk under, but I was also 3 feet tall. So that all this shit was just at waist height for the adults.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you need to go check out Toy Galaxy. It is, I can just sit there and just watch it. He does it in a, kind of like a podcast format a little bit, so you don't actually have to watch him, but it's just filled with amazingly good toy information.
Woot. Mm-hmm. The wife and I went and saw Parasite in the movie theater last week. It was in some limited release, and now it's gotten kind of like a wider release. And my guess, well, it is 100% going to be nominated for Best Foreign Film. It might get nominated for just Best Picture for the Oscars, in which case most places, yeah, I remember that guy. Most places usually do, like, all the Best Picture films would come into their theater, and that's what I'm holding out for so I can watch The Lighthouse because I missed it. But anyway, check and see if Parasite's playing at your local theater. Go see it. Don't read anything about it first. It's always fun to go into stories blind. It's not like there's, you know, necessarily massive twists or turns or anything, but it was very enjoyable to just experience everything fresh, knowing nothing about the film. But super solid. The director has a great track record. He's the one who did Snowpiercer, The Host, some of his stuff that Americans might be less familiar with because it's Korean stuff, but Memories of Murder was super good. Mother was super good. Okja was one that he just did with Netflix like 4 years back. But he's a great director. Even if, like, there's parts of Host, like, I didn't really like the ending of, Snowpiercer. You know, the ending of Snowpiercer I didn't particularly like, but that's a character disagreement I have with the people in the story, not a failure on the part of the director, if that makes sense. Same issue I have with Cabin in the Woods. Like, the end of Cabin in the Woods, I'm like, no, fuck you. But the movie's still good, but fuck you, Cabin in the Woods. But no, so I recommend Parasite. Go see it. It's super good. Good everything.
I'll talk to you off air about it.
Yeah.
To make sure I would want to go see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will suggest, I don't know exactly what part of this to suggest, but I have never played a Pokemon game before. And so earlier this week, I picked up Pokemon Shield. Because I got Sword and Shield for my kids for Christmas, and going into it completely blind with no information of it, not looking up anything about it, and just playing through, and just having to ask my 8-year-old Lars, what do I need to fight against a flying type? Oh, electric type.
Oh, yeah, the grid, because there's so many types now. It's like the rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
And being at the point, it's like, no, I'm not going to Google. I'm just going to ask my 8-year-old son to tell me the answers instead. So, yes, this is pretty cool. And know nothing about Pokemon except I have a vampiric coffee table, and I decided because it was a vampiric coffee table, it was going to be my main monster, and then he turned into a vague Mexican Spiteria type. So,
I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, I was just debating G Gundam with people on Facebook over the last week because I always talk about how great G Gundam is, and they were discussing what the most offensive one was. And there's Tequila Gundam, who isn't necessarily the most offensive on the way he's built, except his name is Tequila Gundam, and he comes from Neo Mexico, which is Mexico is now a space station, and the space station is shaped like a sombrero, and that's amazing. Because, of course, when Mexico builds a space station, when they leave Earth, they're going to shape it like a sombrero because reasons.
To be perfectly honest, all
of the other space stations are just shaped like the country. Like,
okay.
Like, they just like all Neo America will just be this America shaped space station, so it still is familiar. Okay. And New Mexico's like, fuck it, sombrero in space. Name our Gundam Tequila Gundam. Give him a sombrero and cactus arms. Because, of course.
I also like the windmill Gundam that just had the
from Holland.
Yeah, but had a windmill blade on its chest.
Well, because Holland
no
windmills
reason.
Holland windmills. Okay. Every Gundam is nothing but the only thing the Japanese knew about their country, and all the Japanese knew about Holland was it had windmills. The American Gundam has a football helmet, and then it can remove the football helmet and transform its fists into boxing gloves, because that's America's football and boxing.
Okay.
Mexico is tequila and sombreros and cacti. Denmark, for some reason, is a mermaid. Just, I guess, because of the channels.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, sure. You're right. Yeah. Little Mermaid. There you go. There definitely is a Zulu Warrior Gundam that is the Africa Gundam. Yeah, whatever. That's all I know. But yeah, no, Pokemon Shield. The only complaint I've heard about Pokemon Sword and Shield, hilariously, is great for someone like you who is virginal to it, mm-hmm. which is that Pokemon is the Martin Scorsese of video games, in that once you've done one, they're all basically the same, even if some are better than others. So if you haven't played 50 Pokemans, just jumping in with Sword and Shield, it's like, well, yeah, it's the same thing, but polished.
The other thing is it doesn't have like a lot of the previous Pokemon.
Were you a massive fan of Lickitung, and you're sad that Lickitung isn't in there?
I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was Cassie was asking me. It's like, is it an old school Pokemon game? It's like, I've never played one. I have no idea.
Yeah.
She watched it for a while. And was like, yeah, it's an old school Pokemon game. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's like I did point out something that I really didn't like about it is that every female character I have seen in there is that the way you find them is they're always in the kitchen.
Are they, there's some gym ones.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody's mother is always in the kitchen.
Oh, I've also heard too is that your character is an absolute bastard to your rival throughout the entire series.
Well, I mean, throughout the entire your character is a silent protagonist. I mean, I'm assuming that I am vaguely familiar that it's like most of them work that it's like you have a rival, and that goes through the game. And I don't know if this is standard for the rest of them, but my rival is a dick and an idiot.
Well, yeah. If I recall correctly, like in the very first Pokemon games, Licky Licky what? in the very first Pokemon's games, you would pick your starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever one you picked, the game would give the rival the starter that kicked the fuck out of yours.
The rival?
So the rival would be stronger than you. But after like the second or third game, they switched it.
Yeah.
So whatever one you take, your rival takes the one that's weak to it. So you just curb stomp the shit out of them for the whole game.
Yeah.
And that just twists the whole narrative.
Yeah.
Because now you're like, oh, poor rival.
That's all I've heard about this.
Catch a break.
The current one. You just beat his ass every single time you run into him.
Well, yeah, because it started out and it's like, okay, and it's like, let me pick first. I'm thinking of this. And it's like, okay, if there's an elemental ordering here, picking first is always at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I'll take the water thing. And so he takes the fire thing instead. And it's like, but I like get auto crits all the time.
I'll take fire. Well, you took fire. I'm taking marshmallow. We'll see how this goes. Nothing beats marshmallow.
From what I've seen about the Pokemon games, your rival has an overconfidence factor.
Yeah.
One of the generations, you actually, like, at the end, you face the main character from the previous generation, and that was kind of a neat twist, as you actually... I think it's the second one, because the character you face at the end is called Red, because he's supposed to be the one from Pokemon Red.
Oh, sure.
Which is kind of neat. But yeah, so now basically you're the Gary Oak of the series. Take that thing that Andy threw...
Yeah.
And Ghost Rider.
Yep. I took out the spirit.
Ghost Rider.
I took out the spirit of vengeance. I wonder if those two things are tied together.
But, yeah. Also, just asking your kids for help with video games is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also shows that you're old.
Yeah. But I mean, I know I'm old.
Yeah. Gen 2, you face Red because he's the main character in Gen 1.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. No, the Pokemon games are all right. Mm-hmm. They're all right.
All right. That's it.
Hooray us.
Go watch a Packer game.
Yep, it is.
They're winning,
halftime,
which is weird. It's the playoffs and they're winning. I don't know if I've experienced that very often.
We did. Oh. We did like 5 years ago, 6 years ago when we took on the Seahawks. Sorry to bring that up.
Fucking A. Packers coaches. The fact that Favre and Rodgers each only have one Super Bowl ring is a travesty.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I meant to ask you on the air, what do you think about the Cowboys hiring Mike McCarthy?
They can have him.
He looks like
he's better than Ted Thompson, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have Ray Rhodes back than Ted Thompson. Welp, it's the end of the first quarter and we're up by two. Better start running the ball to grind the clock down. Surely they'll never catch us. Motherfucker, Ted!
Yeah, we don't have a running game. Hey, you know.
He would throw every game in the trash. Like, we'd crush with our passing game. We'd be just dominating and be like, yeah, well, we're up by 10. Might as well start running that clock down. You're like, it's the third quarter, Ted. What are you doing?
It's the second quarter. Stop it.
Oh, look, we lost because that backfired. Maybe we should have kept doing the thing that got us in the lead in the first place. You incompetent moron.
Just do what the Patriots do is basically, well, we cheat. And also... They don't care. They just don't care. You know, like we're up by 21 points. Fuck it. We They have no passing defense. We're just keep throwing the ball.
We're up 33-0. We'll do three penalties in a row to keep the clock running because that's totally the kind of thing we'll do. And I'm sure we're not hypocrites. We'll throw a temper tantrum like a small child on the sideline when somebody else does this to us later.
Oh. Womp womp.
I still watch that video every once in a while. I'll just pull up the video of him. This is bullshit. Yeah, go fuck off.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. You had to cheat against the Bengals. The goddamn Bengals.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah. No, it's not cheating. It's a loophole.
Well, no, the
for
cheating.
The, for the rule, yeah, for the yeah, rule that, what they use is
well,
a loophole.
No,
but.
When he used it, it was a loophole. When it's used against him, it's fucking bullshit.
Bullshit. Okay, yeah, fair.
Because that's how shitheads see the world.
You could draw that into a whole bunch of War Machine talk, too. Ugh. Or even just normal miniature gaming.
When I moved sloppily at the start of the game, it didn't matter because it was the start of the game. But now we're at the end of the game. If you move sloppily, I'll call a judge.
Yeah.
Remember that person who did that we definitely won't name names about?
Yeah. Hey, you know who doesn't want to make... There's a certain person that joined the Marvel Crisis Protocol folks.
I think that's a different person, I think.
This is your favorite person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw...
Mr. Deepwater?
No, a different one.
Oh, we're going to have an off-air talk now. We got to start naming names because we're all confusing each other with who we're not talking about.
But yeah, I saw that person post in the Crisis Protocol area, and I'm like, oh, this really doesn't want to make me do this.
Well, I mean, the only person, it's a super casual, non-competitive game.
So, the only person ever to be kicked out of War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
Does that draw any hints?
Also, to
supply death threats to a social media manager for a certain company.
Listen. Sometimes you just have to threaten to murder privateer press staff members. You know, I mean, who amongst us hasn't threatened to murder privateer press staff members from now and again?
I think... all of us haven't.
Oh, you're right. I think none of us have threatened to murder.
At least publicly.
That might be why we're not banned from War Machine Weekend and all Privateer Press events.
Well, War Machine Weekend doesn't exist, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So he probably could go to Warfare Weekend.
Yeah, he probably could now. Yeah,
well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Does that have any
Grumble, I guess.
Grumble, yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching and listening. We'll be back next week with some more talks.
Bye, everybody. I'm waving my arms. I didn't even discuss whether 301's Prime or Happy.
Wait, what?
301. It's episode 301.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't discuss whether it's Prime or Happy.
Ah.